Yo, check it out. A whole new generation of young people today who belong nowhere.
But I prefer to be now cast.
Third culture kids, where the concept of the Dukan is the corner shop or the top shop.
We are live outside. Hey, yo, what's up, people?
What up, nation?
It's a revolution of expression.
You tuned in to the Dukan show. Stay tuned in.
Arab digital generation is shaping our identity, their creative expression, and their future. So please give a very warm welcome.
Welcome to your tribe.
This is the Dukan Show episode where we're going to be talking about manifestation.
I need to doodle.
This is Reem's number one topic. Favorite topic.
No, it's not my favorite topic. It's not.
Apparently manifestation is how you take credit for other people's work.
Hold on a minute. I never said that.
One second.
Hold on. No. For this fake news, first of all, not only do I have receipts, I made it very clear that I did absolutely nothing. No, leave it.
You finished your cup, either wash it or remove it.
No, I'm leaving it right here.
Like empty matcha cups just look weird.
Yes, that's why.
Like mucus.
No, it's not. They don't look like mucus. It's rings like a tree. This is how I've aged it to the morning.
It
everybody
looks like the vomit emoji.
No, it does not.
Allahu Akbar. And we're back. It's been a while. I'm Oti, Auntie Reem.
Hello.
How you guys doing? How you guys doing?
Really good.
Great.
Manifestation, huh?
Is that what we're talking about? I just shot it out there.
Describe manifestation.
Manifestation is it's the woo-woo idea.
Sure, woo-woo. One second.
Woo-woo is the word that people
Which
use.
Which word?
It's woo-woo. W-O-O. It's the idea that you… First of all,
how you know what you
mean. I know exactly what it is. You want to hit the button? Because I know exactly where
are
this
you gonna
is
explain
going.
Are you going to explain it or
are you going to re-explain
it?
I'm going to
re-explain it. Welcome to Re-explain.
Well, bravo, he knows each button.
Very good. We start out strong in this episode. Let me explain. Let me re-explain to you.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, you didn't know?
We have to do her work for her, bro.
No,
this is becoming
listen,
very difficult.
Listen, so manifestation is the idea that we are all connected through energy. And I can move the atoms in the world around us through my energy. We are all connected in this web of energy. And you know what? When you think of something, you draw it to yourself. So what you focus on will grow. That's the kind of core concept of manifestation. So if I'm looking at what you lack, you're just going to lack more of it in my eyes. More lacking. So here's the thing about manifestation. Everyone has different ways to do it. And I know you guys are like, you think things just happen, but they don't. You have to say things and then you have to let them go. And then the universe will transpire to make things happen for you. So everything that happens to you is for you, Akkawi. And that is the baseline of manifestation. Some people say prayer is manifestation. But if you're praying for someone to like get hurt because they hurt you…
I'm praying for this to be over.
No, it's not going
to
be over ever.
Praying for this to be over.
Anyway. So… On manifestation,
Reem,
I manifested.
I manifested
your comedy workshop, your comedy show.
Wait, before you start taking credit for our comedy show,
I didn't take. No. I take credit for the manifestation. I didn't put any.
Okay,
I didn't put
a single
ounce of effort into
also,
it.
Before we take any kind of credit,
let's 100%. Let's first of all tell people about manifestation. Manifestation.
Here we go,
ladies and gentlemen. Is not saying I want to manifest $1 million.
No. It's
the way you manifest is you need to manifest the feeling around what you want. So rather than saying, I want to manifest $1 million, you need to think, what does $1 million give you? Safety. Therefore, you manifest safety.
Is that how you approach it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I approach it differently.
You manifest $1 million?
No, I don't.
No, I don't.
But I manifest
what I want to feel.
I see what you mean. So it's like emotionally driven.
And you know, like for example, if someone wants to manifest getting married, they don't manifest the woman, they manifest the feeling. Love, security, passion, etc. Someone wants to manifest a better health for their family, don't just say, I want my dad to be better. Why? What makes you feel? It means you feel that he's there. You feel
the
sense of…
Why would you not manifest the woman or your dad feeling better?
Because you can't manifest single things. Like, okay, with your daddy, but you can't say, I want to manifest… And this is how you know my type. I want to manifest, a strong, secure brunette around 5 foot something. You know what I mean? Don't say that. No, you say, I want to manifest someone that's going to make me feel loved, secure, that's going to give me drive, it's going to give me comfort, give me like you yeah. manifest the feelings around. That's what I do, Yahya. That's what I do.
No,
and I think that's a better explanation than what Reem said for the past 32 minutes.
Hold on for a second. No, I was talking about the mechanics. He's talking about the execution.
Wow.
You went to the execution. That I'm talking about the feelings behind the execution.
No, so what the feeling is an emotional energy. That's the playback what I said. And overlay
it. Please don't say you have a playback button.
Juxtapose it, it's good.
No,
this is the first time Hussein wanted to leave the room.
This is the first time I've ever seen
Hussein want to leave the room.
First of all, Hussein is not feeling well today. Second of all, I'm manifesting you feeling better. Oh, I'm supposed to... I mean, so here's the thing. I don't think about my feelings when I manifest things. I put myself in the situation. So if
it's because you're not as emotionally woke as I am.
Excuse me, what?
Emotionally woke.
Woke is broken this time.
Wow.
That's why I'm emotionally woke.
You're emotionally broke is what you are.
Emotionally woke.
Take a look at this, everyone.
Emotionally woke. Emotionally woke.
No.
Oh, God.
No, see,
oh,
no. I think everybody manifests differently, but I think we don't talk about it. We don't talk about the mechanism by which we all approach it.
As long as everyone benefits from the manifest, that's the most important thing.
But it's like...
what do you do? What do you do?
Before we get into what we do, here's my thoughts on manifesting.
We're already deep into what we do.
I saw this meme once, which I love.
If it starts with me, it means Oti's going to shit on the process.
This is how he's trying to avoid telling you what he does. Go, but tell us anyway.
No, because it reminded me how accurate things are. It's like, it was talking about manifestation. It's like, you only like it when the Westerners, like the foreigners are about it, right? Like manifestation is very old in Arabic culture, right?
Yeah.
And in Islamic culture.
It's very old?
Of course.
Ah, okay.
تَفَعَلُوا خَيْرًا تَجِدُوا. Like, bro, like,
explain
that is
it.
The exact definition of manifestation, which is to find, like, imagine or manifest optimism, you shall find it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it, roughly, horribly translated. But, like, this is there.
It's I think it was
there,
well but translated no, with you, bro.
Thanks. But nobody cared.
No, I think people cared. Hold on.
Wait, about your translation or about…
No, my translation. No, it's not that nobody cared, but, like, it wasn't in the zeitgeist, right? It's not, like, the it thing until… Probably like a Jay Shetty or something.
No, hold on a minute. No. You know?
It's like the Sheikh said it a long time ago. Jay Shetty said, yeah, this guy's right.
Imam said it, but nobody cares.
There was the book The Alchemist before that. There's been so
and
many
the
iterations.
Oh my God. See, these people are
you,
quoting
did
The Secret.
You watch The Secret? You know there's a movie for The Secret on Netflix?
No.
You should. You would enjoy
you
that.
You would enjoy that.
I would rather watch Fast and the Furious. movie collection.
I don't disagree with any practice that brings positivity into a space. Like for me, if you're sitting there and hoping for something better for yourself, if you don't have much and you're imagining yourself in a better place to take care of the things that you love, whether you get that from The Secret or you get that from, you know, ancient…
Secret side piece. Anything.
Whatever it is, right?
It could be a side piece.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, however it is, I don't believe people go to pray or to manifest in bad faith. I think that's… I don't think people do that. I think people do that with the hope. Like, that's the cornerstone of hope. So when we say, oh, this is something that, you know, the West does, I really disagree with that. I think, I don't think that's…
No.
I don't think that's right to say.
No. That's what made it put in the zeitgeist.
The zeitgeist is the West.
The West commercialized it. That's what you
mean. Exactly, right?
Yeah.
The commercialization of it. The narrative becoming, you know, sort of common narrative. Like, you know, people were maybe in their 30s, back in the day… It might have not necessarily been a conversation piece that they're having, right?
I think it's a conversation we don't have, but I think it's been had in tertiary ways. Like I don't
What's
think it's as in like in it's not at the center. It's
no,
in it's
forms.
Indirect, but people are talking about look, you know, change your mindset, champion mindset. In athletics we have it. Like in sport we have it. And in business, it's all over the place, you know? So for me, I love talking about manifesting because it tells you about the person.
Okay.
If you ask a question about how do you manifest and someone says, well, I sit down and I pray, that immediately tells you so much about them. And
what does it tell you?
It tells me that this person believes that there's something bigger in the universe than them. Whatever their religion or religious incline is. But it also tells you that they had to come to their religion. Someone who gets down on their knees and prays for something, whatever that is, is somebody who deeply believes that they are a small piece of a larger moving purpose. And I think those people I can connect to because inherently you're flawed. You don't sit in that spot and be like, yo, I know everything. No, you're like, I'm broken and I'm weak and I need your help. I want to be better. So, but then if somebody says, no, I sit down and I map out what I want, what I need to feel, and methodically go backwards from that and put in the work, that tells me this person's ethos believes that they have intrinsic control over the details of their lives. And they don't surrender that to a higher power. They have detailed strategic control. And that just tells me about them. And I think it's such a great conversation to have. It's so good in my eyes, like, you know?
That. Okay.
Oh, from Mate OT.
How do you manifest OT?
She did.
How do you manifest OT?
I know.
Not how do you manifest yourself. How do you manifest in your life?
Don't tell us how you manifest
Please
yourself.
Don't tell us how you manifest yourself.
I feel like I'm about to get my life re-explained.
I feel weird. No. I'm not going to re-explain you. I can't re-explain OT.
So how did you take credit?
How do you manifest? The only thing I will say is I was the one who pushed the first marble into the universe. And then all of the genius that surrounds us put it to life.
All the genius that's around
your belief in yourself, you launching yourself into something that you clearly said on the show. You said, I don't do stand up. I like off the cuff stuff. And then this thing presents itself, this idea. And you and Sean start working together. And last night, not only did you guys fill, I had nothing to do with, but just plant the initial idea. It was just like, not even the seed. I like threw the seed. I can't, we planted it and put water and whatever.
But you alley-ooped it is what you're saying.
Barely. Like I just put the core idea on it.
Is manifestation the alley-oop?
No. Mm. No, I don't think so.
In this scenario?
No. I really wanted it to happen for a few reasons. Because I knew you would grow. I knew that if you… And the second thing, and you can see that on social today because it's in stories. Everybody's saying that we love is like we're all proud of you because you've been making us joyful and laugh for as long as we've known you. But like for someone like Stefan, it's been a decade. You've been making him laugh. And now he's like, okay, finally, everybody can see the thing right. that we love about Akawi. Everyone's feeling that. And Sean makes people laugh, Sean. His parents are divorced, you know?
Yeah.
But what I said last night on a voice note to Sean, which if he's okay with it, I'll share it. When he brought his mom on stage and like they had this like really beautiful relationship, I was like, yo, it will never be the same again. It will never be Akawi's first time on stage again. We will never look and I will never see Sean and his mom and the deep relationship that they have built over the time they've had together. That's what comedy is about. You guys are not stand-up comedians, people who do comedy, who are funny like you. You're truth tellers. That's what you do. So last night, every comedian came up and said their truth. Your truth about flying, like we fly a specific way. Or, you know, your relationship with your mom. Everything you said about your mom was truth. And we all loved it. We wanted it. One dude's talking about getting deported. The other dude, like, and I just sit down and I think and I'm like, that's our truth. Yeah. If you ever want to know it, go to a comedy show. You know, so I didn't do anything other than plant the initial seed. But I was so grateful for yesterday because you grew. Though you can't tell me you didn't.
No, 100%. No, I think yesterday was different for me.
That's why I'm still rocking that Talardina shirt.
Hell yeah, man.
I'll see you.
Hell yeah, Talardina, man. I could sleep in this shirt. I could go to work. I can attend the meeting. I could host a comedy club. I could be on a podcast.
Look at this guy.
You know
one
what I mean?
Button less and he's at the beach club.
One button less, I'm at the beach club. You know, I can skydive in this shirt. Whatever you want. Talardina, I need more of this shirt. It's also going to be, by the time this episode is live, this new collection is going to be on the website. Talar, I love you. I did. It was different for me yesterday. Like we've been on, whether if we were presenting or on panels or, but like one, everyone, you're controlling everyone's emotion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's a big responsibility. And it's also reading them. So even when you're finishing the joke, you're looking at people where they're laughing and then it's coming down and then it's responsible. You feel that it's your responsibility. And maybe that's just me to never stop them from, to never let them go down. Like, you know, that kind of energy, that kind of vibe.
As a host,
and I can imagine when I was just hosting for like, I was entering for 4 minutes, leaving 3 minutes, 5 minutes. But then like, Sean put up a 45-minute set.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he did it off the cuff. Maher did a 30-minute session, I think, or like a 20-something
minute. What's his last name? I don't know. It was the first time I saw Maher yesterday.
Oh, really? I've seen him before. I've seen his journey.
He's skilled. Yeah. He is funny. Very funny. And you can't heckle the guy. There are some 100% guys you can heckle.
And you know what's the beauty about Maher's set? Is that it's so diverse that for the next person coming up, whether if it's the host or the other comedian, it gives them so much material to play around. Whether it's half of the stuff that he said, or whether if it's him heckling some of the audience and you knowing, okay, that girl that was at the end, she's probably drunk and she's probably going to just raise her hand at anything you say so you can go at her. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or Jan, who's Stefan's dad. I love him. Thank God he's on my… I put him in the family and friends, because if I made a pay and getting roasted, I would never hear the end of it.
Oh,
I love
my
you.
Gosh.
And that's the beauty about good and great comics.
Yeah.
Is that what they start with and what they leave for the person after them, or if they're closing the show.
I've seen Maher on stage years ago when he first started off. Definitely not as smooth as he is now.
Yeah.
But you could always tell. Like, and I think he had a stage name back then. It was like Joker or something. Like he had one of those kind of stage names.
He was going through creativity. Yeah, like trying to
you
find himself.
You can tell this person just started early stages of his comedy career. And I was just so happy to see him yesterday.
Yeah.
You
he
know,
was good.
I bumped into him by the bar. We spoke for a couple of minutes. And it was just so nice to see him because… He's gone so good.
Yeah. Look,
like, yo,
and it
was so impressive.
I was researching a little bit of comedy and talking to Simi. Shout out to Simi. He was a great help.
First of all, Simi was your number one fan. Yeah. Now Simi is like a super fan. Like, Simi cannot get over the fact that… check my comment section, by the way. Simi said, protect Akkawi at all costs. That's what he
Simi.
Said. He said, protect Akkawi at all costs.
And to what you were saying, OT, is that with what I've learned and from yesterday and then seeing some of the videos that people posted and looking at me and like how I was speaking and my body language, is that with comedy, as funny as you are, if you don't, like if anyone wants to take comedy seriously, they need even if they have the same jokes for the first start, they need to go perform them.
Yes.
As much as they can. Why? Because like me looking at myself yesterday, I already understand what's a much smoother transition that can even… be much funnier with the jokes that I said.
Right.
You know? But when you're new, like when you say, you want to get to the punchline to see how people are reacting, but there are so many kind of steps to get to the punchline that are also funny, whether if it's pauses, whether if it's facial expressions. It's such an interesting journey.
Like, to his credit, Rami Bure did talk, we spoke about that back in the day.
Yeah,
Rami,
on his episode.
Rami is a stand-up comedian as well.
Yeah.
And he would talk about recording his sets. Right. So whenever he's on stage, he'll have a phone close by or something. Like he'll record, he'll tape his sets. And that helped him because like he'll go and like listen back to it again. And it's interesting because I think, you see the interaction watching it. It's like being an athlete and you go back and watch your, you go watch your old reels or watch other
and
players.
It's all, and it's so, man, you know, it's so interesting how everything in life just requires consistency.
100,000%.
Whether if it's being an athlete and running, being an athlete and running, or whether if it's being a comedian, or whether if it's… you're in business or what? It's consistency.
Manifesting.
Yeah. No, consistency.
Listen. I just want to… Yeah. I'm gonna consistently manifest some shit.
I want to do stand-up in Arabic. I want to try an Arabic
First
set.
Of all, okay.
Manifest that.
No, can I tell you what I told Taha?
Into the mic.
Oh no, Omar Taha came up to me today because he had another event. He wanted to come, but he couldn't make it last night. So he said, what did you think about it? And the first thing out of my mouth this morning was… Akkawi's gonna have an Arabic Netflix special. Uh-huh. Like an Arabic stand-up Netflix. I said it to him this morning.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, no, I just see you on this track. Why? Because I just think, first of all, there's a real deficit in Arabic comedians that do stand-up in a way that's for the Arab world, not formatted
for
to
the
be…
country.
Do you get what I'm trying
for the
to
country.
Say?
I get what you
like,
mean.
Not trying… I don't know how to say it eloquently right now, but I know that
white
when
white comedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I, white language, Lugabaida, which is across all languages.
Exactly.
It's not called white comedy. We just made that up as a new end.
Exactly. And I feel like you can corner that and really make it funny. But I look forward… Like again, with this is the thing. I look forward to growing old with you in this journey because I think it's going to be dope as all hell. And I cannot wait. I'm going to be on Netflix saving… I won't save it. I might favorite it.
But give it a thumbs up.
I see it. I saw that was the first thing that came out of my mouth this morning when I talked to Taha about it.
Plus,
he wanted,
Arabic swear words is much funnier.
It's a whole situation.
But you know what's the issue now? It's not an issue actually. Now because of yesterday and because and then when I left, I'm like, okay, if I want to do a 20-minute set, what's gonna… So now everything that's going on with me per day, I'm like, how do I turn this into a gag? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so now you become...
So now that's how I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So watch out, huh? Watch out. Anyone does anything dumb around me, it's going to be a gag in my next...
No.
In my global tour. Yes, I said it. Global tour.
Here it is.
Global tour, any 25-hour...
If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
I hereby give Mohammed Akkawi full rights to use anything in my life for any of his sets. It will get him where he needs to go. Wow. I said it. You can... I first of all, my dignity is not hinged on you in any way. So imagine my ego was reliant on you. We'd be done. Yeah. You can say whatever you want. You can use my life for whatever you want. I just want you to get where you need to go.
No. Yesterday was amazing. I just need to shout out. I've never shouted out people on bus. I need to shout out a few people. One, shout out 25 hours. Yes. Genuinely. Because I came to them with an idea.
It's on the receipt.
And I told them we need to make it happen with Sean. And he's your guy. And they just went like, okay, whatever you guys need.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sean. Because the second I told him and we sat and I showed him the location, he's like, let's do it. Shout out to Josh, Maher, and Anand. These guys
killed it. They were so themselves. Yeah. That's what I loved. Yeah, you know. Yeah. And thank you to everybody who came out. You guys sold out tickets.
In 2 hours.
They put the link up. The tickets got sold out in 2 hours. They expanded the venue. And those tickets got sold out in less than a minute. OT and I were basically scalping tickets to come to this stupid thing.
We had to scam our way in,
which sucked. I never do that to me again.
I love everyone that showed up. There was literally like, it wasn't even a wasta thing. There was literally no seats. We couldn't accommodate. And it just shows the love and support. And it just shows how great comics we have in the city. Starting from Sean Sarahatan. The guy pulled a 45-minute set off the cuff. I promise you. And I was there. I was like, do you know what you're going to…
He never knows.
No. I'm like, but are you like… Which are you going to like concentrate more on the Iranian? He's like, I don't know, bro.
It stresses him out to know, just so you know, because he doesn't
he asked me one question before the show. It would be like 3 hours before the show. We were sitting down after we finished the mic check and sound check, and he looks at me, he goes like, do they have a piano in the hotel?
I'm like,
piano halla, khalas bro, get a keyboard. I'm like,
stop.
Feed DJ set, because he wanted… I think he knows how to play the piano.
I think he does.
I don't know. But the crowd was very supportive. They're very funny, especially a few of the drunk people.
Yeah,
shout out to you guys. No, it was beautiful.
You did so great.
Shout out to Sean for never playing any song on time. Oh. And in some cases, not playing the music at all.
Imagine you got him a piano.
For whatever reason, that fuck up added to the entertainment.
It made everything
better. He went, did a playlist, and then he left the playlist and went and sat down with his friends. No.
It made it better for some reason. We became accepting of anything that would show up on stage. It was great. It was great. And I'm proud of you, and I think that…
Thank you.
You've made people laugh for so long. Stefan said it best. You make people laugh for so… Like, for all of us that know you, we love how much joy you bring. Now, just give it to the world. Wow. Like, make as many people happy as you possibly can.
Definitely.
You're right. I think I made Stefan laugh for far too long, not charge him for it.
Exactly. So. Now it's time to charge.
It's time, Stefan.
it's time to pay up.
That forever student money.
Yeah, you know.
Hey, collect.
It was fun. Stay tuned for the next one. Stay tuned for the next one. That's what I tell you.
Many people are upset that you didn't tell them. I blamed everything on you.
Okay, fine. Like, it's called Instagram. It was posted.
Everybody's upset you didn't tell them. That's on you. But next time, actually, I think what we should do, truthfully… is I think you should open a pre-sell tickets so that everybody can
Let's see. That's the goal.
Because if you do that, everybody will be fine.
Yeah.
That is the goal.
Yeah.
All right. And with that. We have a long-standing tradition. Well, not long, but it's just a new tradition.
You guys are going to love this one.
And it is officially a long-standing tradition. Are we ready?
We are very ready. For those of you that don't know what the Shataf Report is, it is Reem's public service she does for the world, where she goes and uses her bocce to go try different public bathrooms.
How do we get more graphic every episode?
Not me.
Bro, we need to explain this. We need to explain what Shataf Report is. You know what I mean? She goes to bathrooms around the city, clean, not clean, but she goes to try the bathroom. So she comes to us with the Shataf Report every week. OT, hit the button. It's the Shataf Report. Reem Hamid,
the farm at Barari, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you, okay? Okay. So,
it's called the farm. Let's just start the farm, with that.
First of all. But Barari is a green, sustainable living space in the desert.
So and the toilet paper must be great.
First of all, let me get there.
That's the first thing that pops in my head.
Don't jump the gun. But
she said greenery, leaves, trees. He's
right. And he's right. We all thought like this.
We did.
Exactly. So I get to the bathrooms yesterday. I look around, and you know how we give points for the experience? As you're walking up, it's a lovely farm. But then you know the real mazra'a, like, you know when, like, from the farm.
Metal bucket kind of
metal,
thing?
You open the door and the door's metal on metal and it's like janky. Like,
is it one of those flushes that you go like this?
No, I wish it was, because I would have felt like that added to the ambiance. But here's what's good about it. It was so clean. This bathroom was clean. Like, it was very, very clean. Not a single speck of, like, dirt or dust. You go in, you sit down, and then you look over at the shattaf, and it is a plastic. And when I say the plastic ones, it's, like, so dinky that I almost… It looks like Mattel made it.
The hell is dinky?
Dinky is, you know… This is dinky. When you spray it and the plastic hits itself and you think you're gonna break it, like you swear it's gonna break,
like it's not well
built.
That's
what dinky means.
That means dinky. It's like it's made sort of well. It's made just enough to survive the set.
Yeah.
that moment. Yeah. And the hose is not long enough. I don't need a long hose. I'm a tiny girl. Why am I yanking this thing? Why am I doing this? Why? Okay, so construction. Temperature, really good. It was hot yesterday. Everybody knows. It's like, what's the temperature?
At the moment.
We're at 44 right now. The temperature was warm. For me, that's cold. Like I'm giving a judge. Like I'm giving context.
Fair enough. I got you.
Right. Pressure. Really, really good pressure. We were all clean. You went to the bathroom on the other side. I know you came out clean, so it's cool.
Why was he walking?
He was on the other side.
Right.
To the toilet paper point. I thought. Exactly like Akkawi said.
From the tree outside.
I saw it. I thought it was leaves. I thought it was sustainable. Mm. Nope. Just regular two-ply.
Two-ply? Okay, regular, it could have been worse.
Yeah, exactly.
One-ply.
It could have been one-ply.
No, but it was a very thin two-ply.
It was but it was a two-ply. I checked.
Yeah,
I was like,
super thin.
Is this one-ply? Is this one-ply? No, sustainable two-ply is one-ply. Just so you know, you got to roll it on itself. But that's okay.
But you know what I thought was strange?
What?
You know, in the bathrooms, they usually have these little where you change the babies.
They have them, right? In the men's bathrooms?
They have it in the men's bathroom.
Whoa.
I have a story. Can we finish this?
We'll get to your story, right?
Right.
They have it. And for whatever reason, it's not the, you know, it's not the table you kind of pull from the wall.
Right. It's one of those that's in a crib. It looks like a crib.
And the janitor is using it to display all his products. The cleaning products are all over the thing.
Oh no, it wasn't. That wasn't the case in the women's washroom.
You should never put a kid on this thing.
But okay, so to that point, we'll get back to this in a minute. So let's rank this. Let's rank this washroom. Ranking. Okay.
Two.
I give it a solid two, actually. Yeah. A rock solid two.
I'm starting to get good at this.
Yeah. But it's fair, right? I thought it was fair considering everything. But it's called the farm. And yeah, it's just the farm, man.
Straight up.
Yeah, you get a two. It's just the farm. You get a two. So that's it. That's the shataf report. Can I tell you the story about why I was…
Please.
Okay, so…
Wait. Can we discuss why you think men don't have baby
that's
change?
No.
This is the story, right?
Because that was always sexist for me.
It was… You're right, and I apologize.
Thank
However, you. There's a reason why I asked the question.
Made me feel a certain kind of way, but it's okay.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to impinge on your male rights.
Thank
that
you.
Way. Okay. So here's the thing, and I admit this was 7 years ago in Mall of the Emirates. Okay, I admit I know exactly what happened. Did we?
You remember?
No. It was 8 years ago. It was before I knew you.
Yeah. Sure.
Right. Okay.
I don't know what the story is, but it's impressive that you remember.
So we're at the Mall of the Emirates. You know where Duck Tech is, the theater?
Yeah.
There's a bathroom near there. And I go to the bathroom and Omar's with me. And at the time, this was the quietest bathroom. So I went because I still was a shut-off reporter back then. I have a PhD in this. So I go, right? And there's a guy screaming at the top of his lungs in the men's bathroom. And he's yelling, and I didn't understand what he was saying. He was yelling in like Saudi Arabic, like very. I didn't understand it. He was saying words I couldn't understand. So I came out. People started to circle because we thought something had happened in the bathroom. And Omar came out and he was like rolling his eyes. And he said, this guy is upset that there's a baby thing in the thing. There's a baby diaper changer in the men's bathroom. He doesn't know why it should be there. It should be in the change room or in the women's or in the women's.
So he was offended that
there was a men's bathroom with a baby thing.
What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is that I shouldn't take one man's idiocy and apply it to Mohammed Akkawi in 2023. That's the moral of the story.
On that note.
Am I wrong?
I'm a little lost.
Yeah, me too. So.
And but a good story nonetheless.
Thanks,
she's
I
pissed off why
it.
A Saudi 8 years ago was pissed off about a diaper thing inside the men's bathroom. 8 years ago. That was before women were allowed to drive. So of course he's pissed off.
I didn't finish the story well. They removed it from the washroom. And I didn't… But that was one washroom probably for… They removed it and forgot to put it back. Because Omar went back in and he said like a while ago. He's like, it's gone. Why did they remove it? That guy. And we had the conversation.
The same way they removed the diaper attack, removed the story from the whole episode because it did not make sense, Reem.
That's the truth.
You know what? This is our truth. Tech, keep it in there. This is who we are.
This is not who we are.
No,
what
it's
do you
not.
Mean this is who we are?
No, it's not. He's right. I misfired on one.
By
on
a mile.
by a desert. But hey.
Wow.
She's not perfect and she's accepting
it. But see, this ending is who you are. So
this is who I am.
And on that note, I love you guys. Again, thank you for everyone that showed up to the comedy club.
Yes.
OT Reem, thank you for being there.
Thank
we
you,
love
Apple.
You.
Guys, love
thanks
you.
The,
see
thanks
you.
Thanks for the invite.
Ma'assalama.
You can manifest anything.
No. Thank you for kicking it with us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast at to stay up to date with all our conversations. Also, if you don't mind, hit us with the 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how you feel about the show. That way, it could also help others find the show. And be sure to share it with your friends and family, whoever you think can benefit from it. You can holler at us on all social media platforms at The Can Show. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could drop us an email to hello@thecanmedia.com. Salam.